I was thinking this morning, thank you, sir. I was thinking this morning about that couple walking on the road to Emmaus, all downtrodden, all discouraged at heart, thinking, man, their Savior is dead. He's gone. He's buried. They had a hope that maybe on the third day that he really was alive. They'd heard rumors that he was alive. And walking down the road comes the Savior. Amen. And they have to explain to him what he is saying he's not heard about. And then he gives them the gospel and he opens their understanding so that they know that he is alive and well. And you know what? When they got to wherever they were going, they were so excited about it, they came all the way back, 7.5 miles back, and had to tell everybody that they could. Amen? And that's what I want to do today. I just want to tell everybody I can. Jesus is alive. Amen? He's alive and he's well. And he's living in my heart today. I hope that you'll take time to tell someone that you love just how much Christ cares for them. And today, we've done this in service today. When you go in the auditorium, the tomb is empty. They left it up from the play. And the tomb is empty. And I don't know how many of you were here or you saw it when the angel stood in front of that tomb and that stone rolled away. And that light shined out. And that kind of fog-looking stuff rolled in. And I thought, man, can you imagine the glory of God that must have been in that place? And when that angel went in and stood there, and he's standing there, and he said, he's not here. He's risen, as he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay. And he's not there, amen? But I know where he's at. He's in heaven. He's preparing a place for us. And buddy, the way things are looking today, it may be soon. He may come back and get us. What a day that's going to be, amen? What a day, what a day. Hey, listen, today, being April the 9th, 2023, we've got a tremendous lesson. It is amazing how that God works out things. Pastor Campbell was reminding me about how far behind I was in my lesson series according to where I ought to be, okay? And he mentioned that, and I thought, well, you know, it's God's got a purpose. And you know what? These last three Sundays, we've been talking about the unjust suffering of Messiah. Last week, we talked about, you know, how that he was just, I mean, all the things that were done against him. And these last three Sundays, and then today, on Resurrection Sunday, the lesson is about the triumphant suffering of the Messiah. And I thought to myself, you know what? God had it all planned, all right? So that means I can take a little time longer to teach the lesson or whatever else. If I need to do it in two parts, I'll just do that. But you know what? God just had it timed out perfectly according to his schedule for what you need and for what I need today. And I hope this lesson today will be a blessing to you. I thought about the song this morning. The words to that opening song said this: Man of sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came. Ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Amen. What a Savior. Bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned he stood. Sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Guilty, vile, and helpless we. Spotless Lamb of God was he. Now in heaven, exalted high. I'm sorry, full atonement. Can it be? Hallelujah. What a Savior. Then that last verse talks about when he comes, our glorious King, all his ransomed home to bring. Then anew, this song we'll sing. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Man, that's what it's all about today. Amen. I know it was chilly outside this morning. I think it was 37 at my house this morning when my wife took the dog out. And she did, I tell you. I thank the Lord for her. Amen. She took him out, or took her out this morning. And I was telling one of the ladies in the office, every day I go home at lunchtime. I go by and pick up my wife, take her home. I take the dog out and take her around. And then I come back home. And I made the comment, I said, well, I'm going to go see Precious and take her out. And they said, who, your dog or your wife? And I said, well, I'm going to see my wife, and I'm going to take my dog out, amen? But What a blessing to be alive and to know Jesus as your Savior. Amen. I want us to look at this lesson today. It's going to be entitled, The Triumphant Suffering of Messiah. And I want you to look at verse 11 out of the book of Isaiah, chapter 53. This is our theme verse this morning. Isaiah wrote about God. He said, He, talking about God, shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. To know that the very Son of God, who came in this world in the form of a man, he came in the form of flesh so that he could die for your sins and for mine. He did all this for us. I stand amazed that he would be willing to do something like that. I cannot understand it. I don't understand it. I don't think I will ever understand it until we all get home and we're home with him. But why Almighty Jehovah God, you think about this, the creator of this universe, the God who placed the stars in space, men navigate their ships for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years by those stars that never move. They do not change. They're always there. You know, that was an accident according to science today. It was an accident. No, it was created there by God. And he's got every one of them named. Every star. The Bible says, the psalmist David said, he's named every star. And yet that mighty God would know me as his dear child. He would know you as his dear child. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Amen. I just can't understand that. But I thank him for it. And I want you to look today at this lesson. I want you to understand that your debt, my debt, has been stamped, paid in full. Amen. I had to pay some bills the other week where my wife had been in the hospital. And I still had some money left from the loan that I got for the house, you know, when we had the storm damage done. And I saved that. I set it aside and I said, I'm just going to hang on to it in case something happens here. And it did. And when that lady said, okay, sir, your bill is paid in full, I about had a shouting spell on the telephone with a bill collector, amen. But you know what? My debt has been paid, and it's stamped in blood, paid in full by Jesus Christ. Amen. On the cross of Calvary, it's been paid in full. Your debt has been paid in full. I love it. Jesus paid it all, and now all to him I owe. Amen. I want us to look at some things today. In lesson 8, we saw how, just how much Messiah would suffer for you and for me. Isaiah spoke in lesson number 9 last week, and we saw exactly why Messiah would suffer. We saw why he would come and do what he did for us. But in the lesson today, God instructed Isaiah to show to his people the triumphant results of what this suffering would bring forth in their lives. And in your lives, my life today, I want you to see this today. I want you to see these results of this suffering that Christ went through for us. I want you to see, first of all, the sepulcher for the sacrifice. The sepulcher for the sacrifice. When we lived in North Carolina, my wife and I made plans for if anything ever happened to me or to her, that we would have everything lined up. Our kids would not have to worry about, you know, paying for a funeral or anything like that. We got all those things taken care of. We picked out the casket. We picked out the place, all these other things. Picked out the flowers, all these things that we wanted to have. And I've got it all written out. It's all taken care of. The funeral home knew about it. They had copies of it, all this stuff. And when we moved here, I did the exact same thing. I went ahead. We got everything set up. Pritz knows where everything's at and what's going to happen to it. They know the insurance policy number to pay the bill and all this other stuff. But we never have picked out a place where we're going to be buried. We hadn't picked out a plot, okay? A plot is something that's not good, right? But we've not picked out a spot. Jesus, when he came to this world, he had a plan. He knew how he was going to die. He knew what his death and suffering on the cross was going to bring forth. He knew all the things that were going to come from that event. But you know what? Isaiah wrote how that he would be numbered with the transgressors. He would be laid in a grave somewhere. And this sepulcher where he was laid, when he cried out unto his God and our God, "It is finished." And God said, "Yes, son, the debt is paid in full." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. They were just going to dump him in the graves with the other thieves, just like everybody else. That's the Roman way of doing it. Just dump them in the ground and just do away with them. They've paid their debt now and they're done. And now we're going to crucify somebody else for doing crimes. But the Bible said that there were two men that came to honor their Savior. And before I get ahead of myself, I just want you to see something here. Now, Isaiah chapter 53, verse number 9, Isaiah told the people, the Israelites, the Jews, he told them how that he would make his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Now, we know he had been born for a divine purpose. We can read the Word of God and know all these things. In John chapter 19, verses 31 through 42 talks about how that God accomplished all this and fulfilled Isaiah's prophecies. I'm not going to take time to read those verses because I want to get through the lesson. But in this passage of Scripture, John writes how that after Jesus died and gave up the ghost, I think I will read it. I'm just going to read it anyway, okay? You got to get this today to make the lesson mean something to you today. Isaiah said this was what's going to happen. He's going to make his grave with the wicked, and he'll be buried with the rich in his death. And if you turn over to John chapter 19, John chapter 19, I'm going to start back at verse 30 here. I got them all typed out. I don't often read all the verses for time's sake. But the Bible said, "The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath was on a high day, the Pharisees, the Jews, they besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. The thieves on the cross had not yet died." And they said, "Man, it's coming up on this special Passover day. We got to get rid of these guys. We got to get them off the cross and get them buried, and then we can celebrate our Passover, our traditions that we've got to do." So they would have the Roman soldiers come in with a big, like a sledgehammer type thing, and break the legs of those men hanging on the crosses, because they had to push themselves up to be able to get a breath. And if they couldn't push themselves up, then they would suffocate and die. So the Jews besought Pilate that their legs might be broken, that they might be taken away. "Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they break not his legs." The Old Testament scripture said that he would suffer greatly, but not one bone of him would be broken. Amen. Fulfillment of that scripture. Amen. Now look what the Bible said. "But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, ran that spear right up in between his ribs." And look what the Bible said. "Forthwith came there out blood and water." And the Bible said that he saw it. he that saw it bear record, and his record is true. And he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. For these things were done, that the scripture might be fulfilled. A bone of him shall not be broken. And again, another scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they pierced. Now Isaiah wrote these things. The prophets wrote these things hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years before it ever happened. And on that day, the scriptures were fulfilled. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, now listen to this, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came, therefore, and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus. You remember Nicodemus in John chapter 3? He came to Jesus by night. This is the same man, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and he brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100-pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden. Isn't it amazing that when God created this world, he created a garden and he put man in it. And there in the garden, man sinned against God. But now, Jesus, crucified outside the garden where man was taken. Remember, Adam was put out of the Garden of Eden that he might not eat of the fruit of the tree of life and live forever in his sin. He was put outside the garden. And Jesus died outside that garden. But then the Bible said that there was a place where he was crucified, near the place, there was a garden. And in the garden, a new sepulcher, one that had never been laid in, wherein was never man yet laid. There they laid Jesus. Therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulcher was nigh at hand. Jesus had a plan. God had a plan. And it was all to be the prophecies that were spoken beforehand. They were to be fulfilled by Christ the Savior. Amen? They were fulfilled. You see, those lost Pharisees that hated Christ, they hated him. They wanted to get rid of the Messiah's body and be done with him, wash their hands of Jesus. They wanted to be done with him so that it would not interfere with their hypocritical religious traditions of men. My wife showed me a Facebook thing, whatever they put on there, a message or something, of somebody that didn't even go to church. And they were talking about how that everybody needed to be in church on this Sunday. I said, amen. One more hypocrite ain't going to bother a thing. Amen. But you know what? These guys were hypocritical. But God had a divine plan. Even for the now lifeless body of his own dear son, he had a plan. Amen. What do you plant a seed for? You plant a seed so that it might take root and spring back up and bring forth life. And that's what God was doing. While they were just wanting to throw away the body of Jesus like a bag of trash, they wanted to throw out these thieves. They could throw out the body. I've told my wife, honey, I don't know where I'm going to be buried, but when the nut is gone, you can bury the shell anywhere. Amen? Just bury it anywhere. Doesn't matter. The nut will be gone. They took those men's bodies. One, his soul was in hell. The other was with Jesus that very day in paradise, the Bible said, because Jesus made that promise to him. So Messiah did that day make his grave with the wicked Because it's the wicked that die because of sin. We die because of sin. But God took it one step further by allowing this Joseph of Arimathea, even though he was a secret disciple, he had been a secret disciple because he was afraid of what people would say around him. I was like that for a long time after I got saved. But when God got to deal with my heart, I could not help but want to do what God said do. And man, I had to follow him in believer's baptism. I had to go ahead and answer his call to preach. I didn't want to. But you know what? God gave me a new heart. And when I got saved, I wanted to do what God wanted me to do. And Joseph said, hey, I can't hide this anymore. And he went straight to the top. Whoever's got their phone on, I don't mean to be rude, but if you'll turn that thing off, please, I'd sure appreciate it. It's getting my thinking here messed up. But the Bible said here, he was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for the Jews. He was secret disciple for the Jews, but he went straight to the top, to Pilate, to plead the body of Jesus. And I can hear Pilate now, well, why? We're just going to throw them out with the rest of them. They probably took them out and burned them somewhere. And you know what? It just drove Joseph of Arimathea crazy to think that. Not my Savior. You're not going to burn his body. You're not going to throw him out there in the trash dump and just do away with him. And so Joseph pleaded for Pilate to give him that body. And he said, do anything with it you want to. It doesn't matter to me. I don't care. And Joseph took it out. And you know what he did? He put it in his own grave. He put it in his own tomb. And he's probably thinking, just like Jude in the play this week, Jude's thinking, man, that should have been me on the cross. That should have been me paying the debt for all I've done wrong. And Joseph's probably thinking the same way. Man, that should be me in that tomb. But my Savior is there in my stead. And it was only fitting that he was buried with the rich that day. And he didn't even stay in there very long. Amen. He didn't stay there long. Look what the Bible said. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, the Bible said, he came, God came, sent his son, and he came to this earth for a purpose. And God made his own dear son to be sin for us. Now, he knew no sin, but God made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Amen. Amen. Preach, brother. Man, the tomb is empty today, folks. Amen. There is significance today in the tomb being empty. It was a borrowed tomb. When they told me down here how much a grave plot cost, they said, you can make monthly payments. I said, I'm not going to be there very long. Can I just rent it? You know, I'm not going to be there long. They said, no, we can't do that. And I said, well, I'll just not buy one yet, okay? I'll just wait. But listen, there was that sepulcher that was there for the sacrifice. But I want you to look at the second thing. I want you to see the satisfaction of the sovereigns that were there. A second result of the Messiah's suffering was the satisfaction of God the Father for what Jesus did there upon the cross of Calvary. Think about it. What Christ did for you and for me, though it was gruesome, it was cruel, it was horrific to see what they did against the Son of God. Isaiah prophesied in verses 10 and 11. Look what he said. He said it would please the Lord to bruise him. And then he wrote how that God the Father, who allowed him, his own son, to be put to grief, and that when the people, he said, shall make his soul an offering for sin, that he, now this he is referring to God the Father, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. Satisfied. That means that God was completely appeased. He was satisfied with the debt being paid by his son. There is nothing that you can add to what Jesus did. And honey, there is certainly nothing that you can take away from it. Amen. It was more than efficient. It was more than sufficient. The debt was paid. And look what it said. He said, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. It pleased him. In other words, all of Messiah's sufferings, everything that he did, as well as the great gift of God's love and salvation that would be created by his suffering, it pleased God. It satisfied God the Father that the price for your sin, for my sin, had been paid in full. Amen? You know what? I don't have to worry about calling the hospital back and saying, now, are you sure I don't owe you anything else for my wife being in the hospital? No, because they sent me a receipt and said my balance was zero. My debt had been paid in full. Amen? I don't have to go back to them and say, now, I'll be willing to work to pay you more, you know, if I need. They're going to look at me like, are you a nut? And you know what, folks that go back and say, well, I've got to work, I've got to do this, I've got to do that to add so to make sure that I can get into heaven one day. Listen, if it took your works to help God get you there, then God didn't need his son Jesus to die on the cross for you. But there was nothing that you or I could ever do. And God was satisfied. Look at it. Why? Because his bruising was pleasing to God. Look at verse 10. In spite of everything that happened to him, he said, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. How could all this suffering and agony ever please or satisfy God? Let me tell you how and why. It's because God was not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And Christ paid that debt. I want you to turn over to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 33, just a second. You got to see this verse. I was studying on this week, and I thought, man, Lord, this is so good. I know we're in Isaiah, but man, the whole book is good. God told the man of God to tell the people here in Ezekiel, chapter 33, verse 11. He said, Ezekiel, you say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. But listen to what he said. But that the wicked turn from his way and live. And then he says to the people, turn ye from your evil ways. For why will you die, O house of Israel? God's desire was that everyone come to be with him in heaven one day. And all they had to do was to turn to Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. The things of this old earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Turn unto him. Why was Messiah's suffering triumphant? Because it pleased the Lord. It satisfied God to bruise him. It was for your sake and for mine. But look at this. It's also because his days are prolonged. In the eyes of his disciples, and even in the eyes of those old wicked men that had him crucified, even in the eyes of those who pierced his precious side, nailed him to that cross, Jesus was now dead and he'd soon be forgotten. We got rid of that old boy. We got rid of him. We washed our hands of him, they said. But God had Isaiah to write here in verse 10. Isaiah chapter 53. God said, because I'm going to prolong his days. Amen. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. My wife just walked out, and I can say this. she has a brown thumb, not a green thumb. She has a brown thumb. Bless her heart. She tries, but she can't get anything to grow. That's why we don't have a garden, okay? I blame it on the rabbits, but it's really not good. Not good. But the Bible said that the pleasure of the Lord, the pleasure of God, was that his days would be prolonged and the pleasure would prosper. It would bring forth fruit because of what God had done that day. You and I are that fruit today. And you know what they said? We got rid of him. We got rid of him. He's gone forever. Gone, gone, gone. And 3 days and 3 nights later, we're still talking about him. Because the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. That word prolong, it actually means it will be lengthened. It will be extended. It will be added to abundantly. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. And when that tomb was found empty, Jesus would later identify himself to John the Apostle on the Isle of Patmos. He would say to John, he said, John, I am the Alpha, the beginning, and Omega, the ending. And he's everything in between too. Amen, folks? The beginning and the ending. And he told John, he said, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, look at me, John. See me, touch me, feel my hands. Behold, I am alive forevermore. And John writes, amen. And then he says, and I have the keys of hell and of death. Isn't that something? The devil don't even have a key to his own house. Amen. God took it away from him, snatched it right there. Praise God. Listen, the Apostle Peter quoted the psalmist David. And in Acts chapter 2, verses 25 through 32, he declared to the people, he said, for David speaketh concerning him, talking about Jesus. I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, Peter says, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. No wonder the Pharisees were mad at them. No wonder the Pharisees wanted to throw them in prison and tell them, you can't preach in that name of Jesus anymore. And folks, that same Pharisaical religious crowd, and even the political crowd, we're seeing in our world today. And man, they're saying, oh, you can't teach in the name of Jesus. You can't tell about the resurrection. Well, just jail me then. Amen? Just jail me, they said. And that's what they did. But look at this. There's also satisfaction with God because his travail was productive. I never will forget when my wife said, it's time to go. And she was ready to be delivered of both children. I stayed there with him. I helped deliver both my children. And I never will forget seeing the travail that she went through to bring those children into this world. But the joy that was in her heart as soon as the travail was finished. And she held those little babies there on her breast. And she just kissed them. She looked at me with love in her eyes now. Okay. Before, there was no love. You did this to me. Listen. But now there was joy. Because of the product that was produced had come forth. And that's what Christ sees in you and in me. No wonder we ought to love Him with all of our hearts today. No wonder we ought to be praising His name that He's alive and He's well today. Because of the travail that was productive. He shall see the travail of his soul, verse 11. And he shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. And look at this, verse 10. Because his pleasure shall prosper. He said in verse 10, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Jesus said this in the book of John, chapter 6, verse 38. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that has sent me. You know what? Jesus in the garden prayed, let this cup pass from me, if it be your will. He thought he was going to die there in the garden. He didn't even think he was going to make it to the cross. He went to that cross. And before Jesus went to the cross, on two different occasions, God spoke from heaven. And he said this. He said this in Matthew chapter 3, verse 17. God spoke out of heaven when John was baptizing him. And he said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And then in that same chapter, in that same book, Matthew chapter 17, when Jesus took the three disciples up to the Mount of Transfiguration, and he spoke with Moses and Elisha about his decease, how he was going to die on the cross for the sins of man. And Peter's up there saying, man, this is so good. We got to build three temples out here. We're just going to have to build. And God just sends a holy hush and a cloud across the whole thing. And God spoke out of that cloud and he said, the Bible said, while he yet spake, while Peter yet speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. There's no other Savior, folks. There's no other Savior. And there was pleasure. It would prosper. His pleasure, God's design would prosper because of what Jesus would do for him. Do you remember Jesus when he was there at the well with the woman that was a harlot? She came at the noontime because nobody else would be there then. And Jesus spoke to that woman from Samaria. And when she trusted him as the Messiah, she went and told everybody. She went into the city and told everybody, come see a man. Come see a man who told me all things whatsoever I did. Is this not the Christ? And she began to tell everybody. The disciples were coming to the well from the city. They had gone to McDavid's for lunch. They had gone and got them something to eat. They were bringing Jesus something to eat. And the Bible said here that they looked at Jesus, and in the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore saith his disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? And Jesus said unto them, my meat, that which satisfies my longing, that which satisfies my hunger, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Jesus came not just to die, but he came also to be buried and to rise up again to give us eternal, everlasting life and victory over sin. That's why this day, Resurrection Sunday, is so important today, folks. It goes beyond the cross. Beyond the cross, honey, there's a tomb that is empty. And it's all because He came to finish the work that he began. Now, I want you to see the third thing. Isaiah spoke here in verse number 10, and he talked about it, but he talked about the salvation for the seed. Isaiah talked about the joy that would come from Messiah's obedience. Messiah would come to do the will of the Father, and he would have no other desire other than to do the will of his Father. And the Bible said here in verse 10, he said, when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he, God, shall see his seed. He not only saw his son on the cross, but I believe in my heart that God saw each of us that would come to know him as his own Savior. He saw us. He knew us. And I want you to see this. In verses 1 through 4 of Isaiah chapter 53, Isaiah, he was perplexed. He was troubled. He was worried. He was bothered. He was even confused about this coming Messiah. Some of the people were confused. All the suffering he's going to endure. And the people were not the only ones to look at this Messiah and wonder how and why he would suffer like he did. Go back one chapter to 52, chapter 52, and look at verse 14. Isaiah 52, 14, he said, as many were astonished at thee. They're just amazed. They're in wonder that his visage was so marred, more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. They were astonished at all this. He had just written in there in verse 13 how that the Messiah would be exalted and extolled and be very high. And now he's saying, his visage is going to be so marred that nobody even knows he's a man? I don't understand. But he goes on in verse 15 to say how that the kings shall shut their mouths at him. For that which had not been told them shall they see. And that which they had not heard shall they consider. You know what? The gospel makes a difference. And for those folks who have never heard the gospel, those in authority, those under authority, when they hear the gospel makes a difference. And Isaiah wrote there, behold, in verse 13, my servant shall deal prudently. In other words, Messiah is going to rule this world righteously, wisely. There's a day coming that he's going to be in charge of everything. And I want you to see this. Then I want you to see the provision of sprinkling. Now, we don't believe in sprinkling. When you bury a person, you don't just sprinkle a little dirt on top of them and say, well, that's done. Okay, that's not burial. You bury them under the ground. You plant the seed. When you plant a garden, you don't just sprinkle a little dirt on it. You dig a hole deep. You put the seed in, and then you cover it and wait for the results to come up. But listen to what it said in verse 15. So shall he sprinkle many nations. And the kings shall shut their mouths at him, for that which they had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. In the Old Testament scriptures, sprinkling was referred to like a ceremonial cleansing, okay? They sprinkled their hands. They washed their hands. They did this for the priest. The people did this. They did this in order to come into the presence or to be able to stand before holy God. They were cleansed. They cleansed themselves. The writer of the book of Hebrews said this in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 22. Listen to what he said. You don't have to turn. But he said, having therefore, brethren, boldness to come, enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled. What is he talking about? Having our hearts cleansed, okay, from the evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. What is the pure water? It's the Word of God. the pure water of the Word of God. Listen, this water cannot wash away my sin. I keep drinking it because it can't even wash down the dryness of my voice. But the Word of God can cleanse my heart, amen? And it would cleanse the hearts of every person. There was going to be a provision of promise in verse 5 of Isaiah chapter 53. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement, the punishment of our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes, we are healed. We are spiritually made whole. Amen? Amen. This is not that prosperity gospel stuff that the world wants to teach about today. This was for your soul and for mine. And folks, it goes on all through this lesson. I don't have time to finish the rest of it. Maybe next week I'll finish it. But I'm telling you today, Resurrection Sunday is a special day to the child of God. The suffering of Jesus was a triumphant suffering, amen? And it brought forth fruit, and you are that fruit. Go and share the message with somebody today. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I know my time is short, and God, I didn't mean to take up so much long time speaking, but God, this is good. And I just want you people to know that Resurrection Sunday is a special day. Please, Lord, help us today to be excited that you are alive. You're living within our soul today. And Lord, if there be somebody here today that's never been saved, please, God, speak to their heart, show them their need of a Savior, and help them on this Resurrection Sunday to come to know you as their personal Savior. Well, thank you for what you do now. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Love you today.